You're listening to the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hello, all you Star Wars fans out there. Welcome back to another episode of Echo Station. I'm Ian, and I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Chris.
Hello, friends.
We have a lot to talk about today, because we missed a week. Sorry.
The weather has been bad here.
It has, and it's only going to get worse next week. I just looked.
Yeah. But it only tends to be bad on the days that we need to record.
Yeah.
And then on the not days that we have to record, it's like 70 degrees outside, so...
It's Mother Nature's like, screw you guys, you're not going to get your Star Wars information out there. So we have a bunch of stuff to talk about. We have some news to talk about. We have a very interesting What I Learned in the Star Wars Universe article, which is hilarious.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of awesome.
And we have a really funny article because this episode is going to be kind of heavy hitting.
Yeah.
We are going to be talking about the video that Ahmed Best, who played Jar Jar Binks, put out a few weeks ago about his contemplation about suicide and what happened with him, with, you know, taking on that role of Jar Jar and how the fans treated him and how just strangers as well treated him. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about Kelly Marie Tran, who played Rose in episode 8. You know, things that happened with her, Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, and our own personal experiences with bullying. So, if you are somewhat, you know, bothered or triggered by the mention of suicide or talking about it or bullying, this may not be the episode for you.
Yep, feel free to skip it.
Yeah, we'll normally
get on to something more lighthearted next week.
Normally we don't say skip our episodes and not listen to us, but...
But we prefer for you all to be mentally healthy.
Yes.
And happy.
So, we understand, you know, if you don't want to listen to it, that's fine. But if you do, it's going to be an in-depth episode. So, just stay tuned for that. And then at the end of the episode, we have a very special announcement. So, just stay tuned for that as well. But news-wise, we're going to start off with not sad news, but kind of like, oh. Anthony Daniels, who plays C-3PO and one of the puppeteers for BB-8, have officially wrapped on episode 9. So they are done filming. They have filmed all their stuff, so BB-8 is wrapped, I assume, as well with C-3PO, so we don't know...
That's it.
...what's going on there. But, it's, you know, and he made a very, you know... emotional post on Twitter saying, you know, this is the last day for 3PO. Now, will it be his last day ever as 3PO? I don't think so. But,
yeah, I mean, if we get more going back in time kind of episodes, then no.
But officially for the Skywalker trilogy, or saga, I should say, he is done. And that's kind of like, wow, he started in 1970, I guess, 6, really, because with filming.
Yeah. And, filming time, yeah.
And ended in 2019.
Crazy.
That's just blows my mind. We don't know how long he was on set for. He was on set for actually quite a little bit, because he would always post, you know, episode 9 spoilers. I had this at the food truck today, or whatever. It was very funny. So, he did that. For a few months, so we don't know. Obviously, you know, with a character like 3PO, he's not going to be there for the full, like, you know, 7 months shoot or whatever it's going to be.
Sure, it's just not necessary.
So he was there for at least 2 to 3 months, so I'm sure we'll see a good chunk of 3PO in 9, because he's, you know, one of those legacy characters that we probably won't see for a while, so. But moving
what
on.
What about BB-8?
BB-8.
Do you think we'll see?
Oh, yeah, we're going to see more well, hold on. Yes and no.
I think BB-8 should get his own adventures, like the Ewok adventures, but with porgs.
Just BB-8 and porgs?
Yes.
I feel like there should be some kind of human in there, too.
We'll throw a curly, blonde child in the mix.
No. We're not repeating that mistake.
Mistake?
Yes.
Excuse me, ma'am?
You heard me. Mistake.
You shut your whore mouth.
I mean...
The Ewok adventures are gold.
Uh-huh. Sure, Jan. So, anyway, beside that little tidbit, we also have some gaming news.
Yep.
EA Games has officially announced a new Star Wars game coming either this fall or this holiday season called Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, Star Wars Fallen Jedi Order, something like that.
Not what we thought we were getting initially. No. Obviously, we already covered that.
Yeah, we discussed this in the last episode. But they did say a developer has played about a 20-minute demo of it so far, and he loved what he saw. Obviously, and they said that more will be announced at Celebration. I'm going to guess a trailer or some kind of gameplay or both. So a first-person Star Wars single-player EA game that doesn't necessarily require online support will be nice.
I would be absolutely down for that.
As long as EA doesn't fuck things up.
Huh.
Sorry, we're kind of bitter here about EA right now.
I would knock on wood, but I don't want to make a loud noise.
Knock on the proverbial wood that is somewhere. So, we have that, and also Battlefront 2 news. For all you Battlefront fans, they're still with us. Anakin.
Good for you.
Yeah, right? Pat on the back to you. Anakin Skywalker is coming to Battlefront at the end of this month, voiced by...
It looks great.
Yeah, voiced by Matt Lanter, who voiced him in the Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. This past month, we had Count Dooku. So, Anakin is coming, along with supposedly a new game mode as well, where you get to fight in capital ships. People are still very, very much wanting and hoping for Ahsoka to come up, excuse me, in that game as well.
I'm sure it'll happen.
I hope so, because if not, I will be upset, because it's a wasted opportunity.
You're gonna flip tables.
Right? I will flip so many tables. But right now, also, we have Mandalorian news coming out from the set. IG-88 is going to be in this series, along with a familiar astromech droid, which is the red droid who, like, blew his top off when episode 4, like, when... Like, the droid has a bad motivator. That droid supposedly is in it, or a droid looking like that. I don't know how that droid can be in it when it blew up, but whatever.
Wait, you mean the Force-sensitive droid that saved the entire galaxy?
Yeah, supposedly the Force... Yeah, I'm sure that's gonna be retconned so hard.
That is my favorite random... totally off the wall Star Wars.
I was hoping you would know that story.
For once in a while was canon.
Like, I was really hoping you would know that story because I was going to mention it, but I'm like, I don't know if she knows that story or not.
Oh, come on. It's the best story to ever come out of, like...
It's hilarious. It is ridiculous.
I love it. I love the premise of the Force-sensitive droid who knew that in that very moment, if he did not sacrifice himself, it would be the cost... It would be at the cost of the entire galaxy. I mean, how...
Yeah, I don't... How did that get pitched?
Who came up with that? And how high were they?
Yeah, right. But I... I found it hilarious. So that droid's gonna be coming back, or at least a droid looking like that. We don't know if it's gonna be Force-sensitive or not. Probably won't be, low-key. Also, Taika Waititi, who is directing at least one of the episodes in this season... talked about the tone that they're setting for it. Obviously, he's, you know, he directed Thor 3, and Thor 3 had a lot of jokes in it. Much to fans, you know, appraise, and some, you know, were like, okay, that's a little too heavy on the jokes, but he said that this tone, you know, you can throw in jokes here and there, yes, but really it's going to be a much more kind of grounded and serious show.
So, closer to Rogue One?
Yes, I would say so.
Which is what we'd been kind of banking on.
Yes. So there's that. Obviously there will be different episodes directed by different people, so different tones throughout. Mm-hmm. But I guess like the main overall tone is going to be centered on that and, you know, with various influences of directors going on from there.
Yeah. And I mean, there's always room for a more lighthearted episode within a series like this. I mean,
there has to be. It's called a filler episode.
Yeah, well, exactly. No, you think about, like, Star Trek and Firefly. You know, a lot of the episodes are really heavy.
Yes. Well, same thing with the Clone Wars, too. They had a few filler episodes with just, like, you know, C-3PO and R2-D2 going on an adventure or whatever.
Oh, random Jar Jar adventures.
Or Jar Jar was there, yeah. So, you know, they had filler episodes there, too.
Yeah.
It's not uncommon. But that about does it for our news. People are still kind of debating on what episode 9's title is going to be. I'm just going to guess that it's not going to drop until Celebration at this point.
I think it's going to be Endgame.
Someone on Twitter said it's going to be called Star Wars, a Star Wars story.
Perfect.
Which I'm like, well, I mean, it is a Star Wars story. They're not wrong.
I know a lot of people were upset that we didn't get a trailer during the Super Bowl.
Oh, I knew we weren't going to.
I know. I mean, no.
Here's the thing.
I'm really surprised that people were betting on that.
Well, with all the other Star Wars trailers that premiered during sporting, like, huge sporting events, they announced it ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Especially for the Super Bowl, like, yes, people are going to be watching, but if you say, hey, the first teaser trailer for the final Star Wars movie in the, you know, saga is going to be premiering, the ratings will be out of the roof. But they weren't because the game sucked. So, no, of course, there wasn't going to be a Star Wars trailer. I knew it. I knew they were going to have, obviously, Avengers, Captain Marvel. I was kind of expecting a Dark Phoenix teaser as well, but nothing there, so I'm kind of sad about that.
I did see the trailer at the Alamo Draft House the other day.
Does it look good?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. For Dark Phoenix?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So
I'm stoked.
I know, I am too. I can't wait. But, so that's about it for the news for us. Do you want to talk about a random article?
Why, yes.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So it took me a little while to find an article that did not consist of just two sentences. Or the very long article that was about gravity. Yes, actual gravity.
Yeah, let that sink in for a second, folks.
And how that plays into the Star Wars universe. So aren't you happy I'm not going to read that to you? Okay, so this is on the Sith Warbirds. And we're talking about the Sith in the context of legends and not in the canonical sense. Current canonical sense. So the Sith Warbird was basically a giant, hairy, feathery dinosaur.
It's a parrot.
It looks like a giant, evil parrot.
And when we say giant, amazing. It means it's like it's taller. It's like three or four humans stacked on top of each other, at least.
Yeah, no. It was average 6 meters by 10 meters in length.
What is that in American?
In American?
What is that, like 30 feet? 40 feet?
Like 8 feet by, yeah, like getting...
It's tall.
Getting there.
It's tall.
Yeah. It's tall. They were, let's see, they're from the planet. They are icy, flightless birds from the planet of Kar Delva. And they were used very heavily during the Sith Empire, especially by famous fallen Jedi Exar Kun in the Great Sith War, and they would basically strap on their artillery and then ride these warbirds around.
They would ride them into battle.
Yes.
That's hilarious.
Which is the most amazing thing, and I would love to see this in a game because it would be incredible.
I can just picture them, like, squawking and, like, firing a cannon. That's hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, and they're literally giant dinosaur-type things. They're like the current, you know, what we currently think of dinosaurs looking like.
Not Jurassic Park dinosaurs, but like the actual ones with feathers.
Yeah, no, like actual what dinosaurs quote unquote actually looked like.
Yes.
So they use them for scouting and reconnaissance missions, and you know, they were harder to detect because they were living creatures, and I don't know. The whole thing is insane. I love this idea.
Because when she said Sith Warbird to me, I'm thinking like a warbird kind of like Star Trek. Like, oh, it's a
yeah,
ship.
Yeah, like a Klingon warbird.
Yeah. I was like, oh, it's a really cool ship. No, it's an actual like fucking warbird.
Literal dinosaur-sized bird.
Like, you know the movie Warhorse? This is Warbird.
Yes. So I suggest looking up the photos for this because it's legitimately hilarious.
It's
like, you see, giant noble Sam what is it, Sam? Toucan Sam.
Yes, Toucan Sam.
Yeah. Toucan Sam gone to the dark side.
But
in gigantic mode.
So you can see why we chose a very funny, kind of lighthearted article, because that's just hilarious.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's really, really funny.
I want this to appear in a game so bad.
I do too. Like, as like a rideable vehicle, you just get on the bird and charge.
Yes, exactly. Oh, but you have to have like a connection with, like a force connection with.
Yes, they are force sensitive. Like they can't use the force, but like they know, like, oh, there's a Jedi over there. Let's go kill him. Let's go kill him.
Let's go get him.
Oh my god, that's so funny. Okay, so.
I mean, I don't know. I personally, if I saw this thing coming at me, I would probably piss my pants.
Oh, but I would run. Be like, see ya, bye. Or I would just get in a spaceship and fly away, because they can't fly, so haha.
Because they're not an actual ship, they are an actual bird.
They are a bird.
But they don't fly. That's very important.
They're useless. They're like penguins. They're the penguins of the Star Wars universe, but like they larger.
They're dinosaurs. They're like almost T-Rex like.
They're very special. We're just gonna call them. They're our special pets.
Yes, I like them. So there's that. Today you learned, guys, that there are giant dinosaur bird things in Star Wars.
Right? It's ridiculous, but it's hilarious. So, moving along, we're now going to talk about the meat of our episode. So this is the part where if you wanted to, you know, listen to all that, that's great. But if you're triggered by something, or if you're, you know, upset by what we're going to be talking about today, this is where you probably turn it off. And you have yourself a good rest of the day.
Yep.
So.
No hard feelings.
Yeah, no hard feelings. We get it. It's cool. Both her and I, you know, we kind of struggle a little bit watching the video. And we're like, oh, okay, yes. So, here we go. So, about 3 to 4 weeks ago, Ahmed Best, who was not only the voice actor of Jar Jar Binks for 1, 2, 3 in the Clone Wars TV show, but he also did the motion capture for the live-action films, put out a video about his experiences after episode 1. The hate that he got, the reactions that people gave him, you know, and he talked about, after all that hate, that he was seriously contemplating suicide and that he almost did commit suicide. Let me preface this by saying Star Wars fans are like some of the best fans out there. You and I both agree on that.
Yes.
But we also both agree that sometimes, and we're not saying all Star Wars fans, so don't get that, you know, tangled up. But we're saying some Star Wars fans that do this kind of stuff to all these people, to him, to the people that we mentioned before that as well, are some of the worst Star Wars fans.
Yep.
And, you know, we're not, you know, hating on Star Wars fans, but when you intentionally bully someone and knock them down to where they, you know, leave social media or where they contemplate taking their own life, what the hell are you doing with your own life?
I think the issue is that a lot of people, not everyone, which is even worse, a lot of people forget that there was a person behind this character, you know, who made specific choices, mm-hmm. In their portrayal of this character, and put, you know, as every actor does, put a part of themselves into this character.
And not only that, but also what the director wanted too.
Yeah. And you know, to be fair, George Lucas did get a lot of flack as well.
He did.
I mean, he continuously gets flack for the prequels, and he gets a lot of flack, especially for Jar Jar. Choices were made in the design of that character I don't necessarily agree with. So I think that's where things can get a little bit shaky. You know, it's not all black and white. It's definitely not all black and white, because I understand the hate for the character. I was a child when this movie came out, and, you know, even though I feel like Jar Jar was supposed to be aimed at children, he drove me crazy.
So, and here's the thing, because you were, how old were you when episode 1 came out?
I think it was like 11.
So I was like 5 or 6 years old when it came out. So when it did come out, I loved Jar Jar. It appealed to me, and it made me laugh, because George Lucas knew that C-3PO and R2-D2 were not going to be in these main three as much as they were in 4, 5, and 6. Mm-hmm. And 4, 5, and 6, they were the comedic relief. Let's be real.
Yeah.
So he had to find someone, some way to, you know, bring some comedy into the, you know, somewhat serious story. And that person was Jar Jar. And for me, as a young child, he made me laugh. So, you know, that was the point of it, and it succeeded in that aspect.
I can totally get that. But I feel like writing a character just for kindergarten and first graders, or anybody below that, is really alienating the core of your fan base.
I can see that as well, yes.
It really wasn't that bad. I think it's just a little too heavy-handed.
Right.
I think if he had been utilized a little bit less, it wouldn't have been so egregious, but...
Right.
The problem, I think, that really comes into play is the racism card.
Yes, he did get many, many racist,
And, like, Ahmed Best explains, you know, people were calling him an Uncle Tom, mm-hmm. which is incredibly awful
yes.
thing to say to an actor of color. They were really tearing into him about what people believed was a racist portrayal, a caricature of a you know, mindless Jamaican guy.
Right.
And for him, that was very offensive because he's not Jamaican. He's of West Indies mm-hmm. descent. And he was calling upon, apparently, that part of his heritage to portray this character. And people were knocking him for it and calling him racist.
Yeah. You know, people were saying, you know, this character is horrible. You know, why would they add this character in here? The actor is horrible. He should just kill himself. At that point, you need to really evaluate what you are saying. Because did that character really, like, mess up every single thing? No. Did it, you know, follow you around forever? No. Like, it's not ruining your day. People aren't just going like, that damn Jar Jar, I still hate him. Like, no. And if you are, get a life.
And even if you do, what does it matter? Get over it and move on with your life.
Yeah, he, you know, and not only, you know, people don't understand that Jar Jar Binks was one of the first kind of fully motion-captured CGI characters.
Oh, yeah.
And ILM was still writing the code during filming of this. So they didn't really know how it was going to turn out, hopefully well, because it's ILM. But they were still writing the code for it. So characters, you know, down the road like Gollum, you know, all these CGI characters that are fully motion captured now and performed by great people, they kind of started at the basis with Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, yeah. Now they all have Jar Jar to thank. And he talks about this in the video about how cutting edge all this was and how incredibly excited he was.
Because remember, this was back filming in 1998. 97, 98.
I mean, it would be... He was... I can understand how he thought this was going to be it for him. This was going to be his huge
break. I mean, yeah, when you're casting Star Wars, you're like, oh, Star Wars.
Yeah. Well, and this was just such a big deal. Nobody had ever done something like this before. And not only that, I didn't know, but he was a really young guy. He was 24.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have any... representation, didn't have an agent.
No, this is his first, like legit acting gig.
Yeah, he just kind of got picked up off the street, basically. You know, he wasn't really... He was no Liam Neeson. He was no Natalie Portman.
No, yeah, they had an established name, at least.
So to have all of these hopes and dreams, to pour your heart out into this character, and then to have people immediately rip it apart, I can understand totally why he would have fallen apart like that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
considered suicide. I mean,
and the way that he says it, like, he's very nonchalant about it. Like, he just comes out saying, hey, I just, you know, I've contemplated this for a while. And, you know, it's something that he's not necessarily proud of, but he's proud of the fact that he didn't do it, obviously, and so are we, and so is, you know, the rest of the world. Sure. But he, you know, was driven to that moment, and that's what really I hate.
Yep.
Is that, you know, people tore him down so much that he felt like, all right, this is just pointless. Why am I here still?
Yeah.
That is never okay.
And even if for a lot of people it wasn't a personal attack, I mean, when I talk about how much I can't stand Jar Jar, I'm not personally attacking Ahmed Best. But I understand that it would feel that way because it's his character.
Yes.
It's his portrayal.
It's kind of like like the original trilogy people hated the Ewoks.
Well, they were wrong.
They hated the Ewoks because they're like, how can these teddy bears destroy an entire empire? But
wasn't the entire empire.
Well, in any case. with this, you know, we're going to move on as well with other characters, but, you know, he's portrayed Jar Jar in, you know, episode 1, 2, and 3, and the Clone Wars. He's done the voice for it for so many years. Like I said, I hope he's going to be at Celebration, because I just want to meet him, and I want to say thank you for making that video, because not only does it take a lot to make that, you know, to come out and say that I was contemplating this, but, you know, to say why it happened, too, because, you know, that could mark you. That could be like, you know, Disney can be like, oh, no, you spoke badly against us. No more for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the fact that he, you know, speaks about his son, too, saying that, you know,
yeah, that was sweet.
My son helped me through this. And, you know, I didn't do this because of my son. But, you know, moving along as well. Kelly Marie Tran, who was DeRose in episode 8, got unbelievable racist comments towards her and hate.
Just ridiculous.
To the point where I almost didn't want to say I was a Star Wars fan at one point because of that.
It got embarrassing.
Yeah, extremely. Extremely.
And this is where we, you know, we struggle with how amazing the internet is. How amazing a tool social media can be, and then how that can be just completely flipped.
Oh, for sure.
Because the fact that there are so many of these celebrities who literally get bullied off of the internet is just atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people should be ashamed of themselves.
Oh, without question. And
obviously this falls on deaf ears, too.
Yes, it does, which is even worse, but...
Yeah. But it's, you know, it's, I still think it needs to be talked about.
Yes.
A lot more.
With her, I don't know why there was so much hate. I don't know if it's because she was another woman being added to Star Wars, and everyone's like, there's enough women in Star Wars.
Because she was an Asian woman, that's exactly why.
I just can't, it irks me so much.
I mean, think about it. If her character had been some, you know, blonde tits McGee, who was basically, you know, eye candy sidekick to run around after John Boyega, do you think we'd be having this discussion right now?
No. I honestly don't.
No.
Which is sad.
Yeah.
You know, Star Wars should always be an inclusive environment, and to... you know, say, oh, this person shouldn't be in this movie because she's Asian. Or in John Boyega's case, they said, you know, why is there a black stormtrooper? Stormtroopers can't be black.
Which, like, doesn't make any sense, because, first of all, he's not a stormtrooper.
He's a first you know? Order trooper.
He's a first order trooper. And if you're calling him a stormtrooper and questioning why a stormtrooper can't be black, you're an idiot. And you're not that big of a Star Wars fan because you don't know what you're talking about.
Yup.
And even then, again, we don't know the rules of the original trilogy and who would have been, you know, who when it came to the stormtroopers. But they weren't all clone troopers at that point anymore.
No, they were just people who signed up for the Empire.
Yeah. So it's just the whole notion, if they wanted to try to be logical about it, is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. There is no logical notion. You're just being racist.
And, I mean, Daisy Ridley as well got hate for being a lead female in this universe. And, you know, people are hating on Kathleen Kennedy because they don't think a lot of women should be in the forefront of Star Wars and yada yada yada, and they think it's her fault because she's the female head of Lucasfilm now, so it's all got to be female stuff. What?
Yeah, but why? Why can't it be a female-led venture? There's literally no way to give an argument for that doesn't end with, well, you're a misogynist asshole.
Mm-hmm. It... So... I mean, I don't know if Oscar Isaac got any hate or not. Probably he did at some point.
He did. A little bit, yeah.
But not nearly as much as the three that we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Which, it's ridiculous. I'm at a loss for words sometimes because it doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, look at, we didn't even mention after Ahmed Best, Jake Lloyd.
Yes. Oh God, poor Jake Lloyd.
Jake Lloyd's story is almost as tragic as Anakin's.
It's heartbreaking.
You know, I mean, he has a legitimate mental disease. But I was reading this really interesting conversation about this the other day, that, you know, a lot of people are born with schizophrenia.
Mm-hmm.
And it never manifests. Because sometimes it just takes a very hard trigger for that to manifest in people. And I think that his incredibly terrible experience with the Star Wars fan base was that trigger for him. And it destroyed his life. He was just a child.
Yeah, people tearing a 8, 9, 10-year-old boy down for a portrayal that he was told, by the way, how to act. This was dialogue written by George Lucas.
Yeah, and you know, they were obviously all told to act the way they were want to.
Correct.
Or the way he wanted them to. But he was a child. There was no way he could have been like, well, you know, actually, my take on Anakin is blah, blah, blah. No. He was a child.
Yeah. Like, even Hayden Christensen got hate for Anakin. But obviously, yeah, he was more of an adult, so he could take a little more of the brunt. But still.
Well, Natalie Portman gets hate for how wooden her portrayal of Padme was. Natalie Portman is one of the best actresses of our time.
Correct. You can see why this was a hard episode for us to talk about. Because...
Well, it's infuriating.
Exactly. With... So... With that, you know, Jake Lloyd, the rumors are, and I believe this was actually confirmed a little bit ago, that he did check himself into a mental health institute.
That's good.
He's had some trouble with the law, I believe, as well, but...
Yes.
You know, it's... to bully a child is, you know, to bully someone is just bad, but to bully a child who didn't really know better, who was excited to be in a movie, to be in a Star Wars movie, is sick.
Yeah. I mean, it's, can you imagine?
Horrible.
Because I was about his age... That would have changed my... I mean, that's literally all I wanted at that time. I wanted to be in the Star Wars movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then to come off of that and everyone hates you?
He did maybe like...
And says that you ruined it?
Yeah, like...
I mean, what?
He was maybe in like one or two, maybe three or four more movies after that. But he dropped off the face of the earth basically after that.
Yeah.
And I think that he was kind of blacklisted.
Oh, sure.
Which... is horrible in its own, you know, thing too, but with, you know, that going on to, you know, throughout the series, a lot of characters, you know, or actors rather, got flack for their characters or however it was, you know, Carrie Fisher was bullied into losing weight for Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
And episode 4, actually. Or basically her whole life. Let's just call it that. It was her whole life. You know, it's just, I don't, when we say Star Wars fans are the best fans, we do mean that, but when people do shit like this, and continually do this, like, they don't stop, that's where, you know, they don't learn their lesson, they don't step back for a second and go, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I honestly don't want you in the fandom.
No.
And that may come across harsh, and we may get hate for that, but I don't care. Star Wars should always be inclusive. You should never bully someone on their race or hate on someone for their portrayal. You know,
I mean, it's about a literal galaxy's worth of different beings.
Yes.
How could it be anything but inclusive?
It's, you know, it's the same thing with Star Trek as well. Star Trek is all about inclusivity as well.
Yeah.
They can do it, so why can't we?
Oh, they get fly for it.
Oh, they do, yes, but...
But, I don't know. They're a little bit more calm.
Yes. So, you being a female Star Wars mega fan, I'm sure you have gotten your share, fair share of hate as well.
Oh, Lord.
Do you want to mention a few things? You want to talk about it for a little bit?
Yeah, actually, I would really like to.
All right.
It's not something I talk about a lot. Although I was actually talking to my good cosplay friend, my cosplay sister, Ruby Silverado, about this the other day. You know, that because we're about the same age.
Mm-hmm.
I think we are the same age. And so we grew up in the late 90s as female Star Wars fans. And Star Wars had not been, it was not what it is today.
No, for sure not.
It still, I mean, it had a large fan base, obviously, but it was not what it is today. It was not okay for anybody and everybody to be a Star Wars fan. Especially for girls.
Mm-hmm.
So for her, she mostly just hid it. She was an internal Star Wars fan.
Right.
For me, I had a little bit more of an obsessive personality as a child, and...
You were very external.
Star Wars was my life. I had a lot of childhood trauma, to deal with, and Star Wars was my escape. It was how I got through those things. It was how I coped, was running away into that universe. And I don't know what I would have done without it, to be honest. So, I never hid my love for it. You know, I proudly had a Star Wars backpack and pencils and, you know, bought shirts from the boys' section because they had Star Wars things and that was not a thing for girls back then. And I was teased and bullied mercilessly. Physically attacked. Mentally or emotionally attacked, every day. Every single day. And I never understood it, because why did it matter what I liked? I wasn't hurting anybody.
Right. You were supposed to like, but, you know, My Little Pony and Barbie and be done with it.
Or Britney Spears and all mm-hmm. this other bullshit. And I just didn't... That wasn't my thing. And the amount of vitriol that came at me... It makes me angry to this day. It makes me frightened to this day. Occasionally, I still have nightmares about the things that people would say to me. You know, and it went in through high school too. What gets me now is that so many of these people, especially the males, now come out. And are, you know, talking about how they're huge Star Wars fans. They've always been Star Wars fans. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know what? Shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
Because where's the receipts? Where were you 20 years ago?
Oh, I agree. Yes, because when I was growing up, it was, you know, I love Star Wars. I was raised on Star Wars like you were. And, you know, I had the Star Wars backpacks and the lunchboxes and, you know, like the pencil cases and the binders and the folders mm-hmm. and everything.
Yeah, all the things.
And that was also right when Episode 1 was coming out, too. So a lot of, you know, Star Wars stuff was coming out again, you know. It was the new age of toys and collector's gear and everything. So I remember taking my backpack to school. I had the Darth Maul backpack because I was cool. And my main folder was the Queen Amidala folder in her red outfit. And I got bullied so much for that. Because I had a girl on the folder. And it, you know, it wasn't masculine. It wasn't Darth Maul. It wasn't Darth Vader. It wasn't, you know, Anakin or Obi-Wan or Qui-Gon or even Jar Jar. It was Queen Amidala because I thought she was really pretty and I loved her outfit. And I got bullied so much. It was like in, I think, first grade that I, at one point, took, you know, my stuff out of the folder and I ripped it up and I threw it in the trash.
So sad.
Because I didn't want to be teased anymore. So I, you know, told my mom or dad, I think, I spilled something on it. It got wet or whatever. So they went and got it, and they go, oh, here's a new Queen Amidala one. I go, no, I want the Qui-Gon one. I want the dirty hippie Jedi. I want him.
Yeah.
So they got me Qui-Gon, and then all of a sudden, I was accepted again. And, you know, even on the playground when I would say, you know, oh, we can play Star Wars, you know, because we're playground, it's make-believe, it's, you know, everyone be like, no, we're going to play sports and stuff. And these are people now that I see on Twitter, you know, raving about Battlefront 2 and wanting, you know, new Star Wars stuff and loving the movies. I'm like, and like you said, where were you, you know, how many years ago? Where were you, you know, 25 years, where were you?
Because the reality is we were the minority.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, they merchandised the crap out of it, but we were still the minority at school. There just weren't that many kids who were out and proud about being nerds and geeks. Mm-hmm. And now it's everybody. So you have to, you know, it's either everybody was pretending, everybody was a liar back then, or everybody's a liar back now.
Or a bit of both.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was bullied not only because of Star Wars, but I was also bullied because, you know, I was kind of a heavier kid liking Star Wars, and, you know, it's, you know, I was kind of the trope of a nerd. I didn't have glasses or anything like that, but, you know, kind of the heavier set, you know, kid liking Star Wars, making make-believe, playing with lightsabers.
Oh, yeah. Literally anything to be bullied. I was the tallest kid in the grade, so yeah.
Playing with action figures, yeah. Because I never had once any G.I. Joes. I never once had, you know, in those, you know, very masculine, you know, figures. I had my Hasbro Star Wars figures, the Play Machine playsets, and the Star Wars Legos.
Yep.
That's what I had. I remember, you know, saying, you know, my favorite, you know, people would ask, you know, oh, who's your favorite Star Wars character? I did not know they were baiting me. I did not know they were, you know, wanting me to say this.
Of course
they were. I didn't obviously know it because what kid would? Yeah. And I said, you know, Jar Jar Binks, or I said, you know, Padme, or, you know, and they go, why do you like those characters? And I told them, and, you know, they would call me names. They would ridicule me for liking those things.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, you know, I think it was in middle school or late elementary school where you would be on team sports and I don't really know a whole lot about sports. And it was like tag or touch football, tag football, whatever it was, where you like the belt and the flags on the side where you like ripped them off or whatever.
Oh yeah. Flag football.
Yeah. Thank you. And I really wouldn't know what to do, so I would, like, try and throw the ball, and they were like, well, he can't throw, he can, you know, he can use the force and throw and just, like, ridicule me.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the worst thing is, the teachers didn't stop it.
No. Teachers didn't give a damn about bullying back then. Oh,
they still don't.
Some do. It's gotten a bit better. It has. As a former teacher, I can say it has gotten better.
Depending on where you are at, I guess, but it just, I don't understand the need for it. For bullying, for yelling at someone, for, you know, making them feel inferior, for a character that they have given their, you know, 110% in. Like, mm-hmm. if you see interviews with Kelly Marie Tran, she is one of, like, the nicest, most sweetest, like, bubbly people you will ever meet.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, was just glowing when they announced her at the previous celebration for a character. Like, she came out, everyone cheered, and, you know, she, you know, was also a person for representation. Because never mm-hmm. have we, I don't think, have seen, in the forefront at least, a character that looked like her.
Yeah.
And to have that representation is fantastic, because representation matters.
And again, is Rose the best character ever written?
No.
No. But it doesn't matter. You know, it really doesn't. Luke's not the best character ever written.
No, he is not. You know, Leia isn't, Han isn't. You know, all these characters aren't the best characters written. They have a lot of flaws. And a lot of writing flaws with that, too. Not just, you know, personal flaws.
Yeah.
But just to have someone, I can never imagine to the point where I'm bullied off my social media, off where I can interact with my fans.
I know.
And I just can't imagine that for her, for Daisy Ridley, for anyone. I just can't, and I never want to, obviously. But, you know, we love all those people that we talked about before, and anyone that we forgot to mention. You know, we're obviously sorry, but we are running out of time a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like we said, this is a heavy hitting episode. We don't do many heavy hitting episodes, but this is one of them.
I think,
and it needs to be said.
Yeah. I think it comes down to that in this social media age, if there's something that you would not feel comfortable saying to someone, saying to their face, person to person, why is it okay to say it to them online?
Because you're hidden. That's why. They have that anonymity.
But I think that's where the disconnect is coming from.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
It does feel, I mean, out of the political scope, it does feel like a lot of today we've gotten better about how we interact with people.
Mm-hmm.
In person. But I think that's because so much of the vitriol has jumped onto the internet.
Yeah.
And it's just easier. Yeah. It's just easier. There's no repercussions. You know, nobody can really defend themselves very well against a troll behind a computer monitor.
Yeah, they can do what they can and then call it good.
Yeah. You know, there's no fear of somebody throwing a punch at you because you're being an asshole.
Right.
So that's what I think it should come down to. If you don't think you would feel comfortable saying whatever you feel like saying to a person's face, don't say it on the internet.
Yeah. Or if you really feel the need to be that kind of person, write it down in a journal or something.
Yeah,
if you really feel the need to, like, bash someone, write it down somewhere. Don't send it to anyone. Don't show it to anyone. But let's let that be your own little hate journal or whatever you want to call it.
You don't need to put your darkness out in the world.
No, we already have enough of that shit. The world is already very, very dark. Especially nowadays. You know,
turn around and look at yourself. If you feel the need to attack people like this, turn around and start evaluating yourself. Like, why do you feel that need?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not that I'm a Bible fan, but cast the first stone.
Right. Yeah, it's, and like we said, if you guys have experienced bullying, or if you guys, you know, overcame bullying, or, you know, have any thoughts on this episode, please tweet us. Let us know, because, you know, you aren't alone. Clearly. You know, let us know your thoughts on this, because
Yeah.
You know, it was an episode that we didn't plan on doing this season. We'd have no plan on doing this at all. But when that video came out, I'm like, well, no, we need to do this.
We're going to talk about it.
We got to, because, you know, especially with past bullying, too, it just made sense.
Mm-hmm. And I do think that the positive side of fandom does greatly outweigh the negative aspects. I just think that the negative aspects are really, really loud.
Oh, I agree. Everything. That's just normal world anyway, though, too.
Yeah.
But so that about wraps us up for this episode. But real quick, we do have a very special announcement to kind of lighten the mood again. We are going to be starting a mini series podcast attached to Echo Station called Padme's Closet. Guess what it's about?
Guess what it's about? I don't know.
All right, shocker. So
it's about Padme secretly being a lesbian and finally coming out of the closet.
Wouldn't that be a story though?
It would.
So we both Chris and I love Star Wars. We love fashion and we love Star Wars fashion. So we thought, who better to like kind of kick off a miniseries than all of Padme's fabulous wardrobes in episodes 1 through 3? So here's the deal. Each outfit is getting its own episode. We're not doing a whole 45-minute episode on an outfit, obviously, even though we would love to.
No, we're talking about, like, 15-20-minute rundown. If that. What we love, what works.
What didn't work, what we love about
it. What didn't work. Yeah. What we think this says, on a meta level for the entire Star Wars galaxy. Yes. Blah, 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 blah.
So they're going to be little mini episodes. They'll be released every other Monday as well. So, like, you know, for example, if next Monday we're going to be releasing this episode, the Monday after that, I believe, will be the first episode of Padme's Closet.
Yes, makes sense.
So, like we said, it's going to be 15-20 minutes max. Each outfit gets its own episode. So we're starting with episode 1 with her first appearance in her red throne room outfit. And we are ending with episode 3 with her funeral outfit.
The funeral outfit, yeah. Which I love.
Yes. We are excluding the Clone Wars because a lot of those outfits are actually just redesigned outfits from the first three movies.
Snow Bunny and whatnot. Yeah. Yeah.
So we're just going to kind of skip the Clone Wars, just stick on the live action. So 1, 2, and 3. Talk about all those. So, like I said, each outfit gets its own episode, and we're going to kind of go in chronological order, so the way we see her. And we are going to include Sabe's outfits, just because they're also the Queen's outfits, too. So, don't get hate for that.
We'll talk a little bit about some of the outfits that weren't used, just kind of in reference.
Yes, there'll be some deleted scene outfits, too, and, you know, all that stuff, and some handmaiden outfits, too, probably, because they match. Mm-hmm. But that about wraps us up here. Chris, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at ChrisJaded and on the Twitter sphere at TheDirtWitch.
And you can find me on the Twitters at IRTurner, and you can also find me on Instagram at HouseOfTurnerCosplay. Same thing with Facebook. And then don't forget that the Echo Station is a part of the HPN. Our music is by the lovely Flying Killer Robots, because we love them and we love our Cantina music.
Yes, we do.
To tweet us at Echo Station Cast. We really want to hear what you thought about this episode. Maybe if you want some more kind of heavier hitting episodes in the future, let us know what you would like us to do. We are available on the Facebooks and the Instagram at Heroes Podcasts or heroespodcasts.com. Find our show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, where many other podcasts are in the internet sphere. Find us, love us, give us a like, give us a shout out, tweet us, share us, do all that stuff for us, please. But until next time, guys, may the Force be with you and have a great day.
May the Force be with you.